Morning. Welcome to Liminal Church of Ventura. My name is Wayne. I am on the teaching team here as well as one of your pastors. Today is Contemplative Sunday. Looks like all the faces that I see would know that. So those of you online, hopefully you know that as well. Today we'll be going a little bit slower and lingering a little bit more with some of the topics, some of the words from John O'Donohue in particular. We are currently in a series on kicking chairs, on saints and mystics, and each of the teachers that are participating in this series have chosen someone who maybe is dear to us. And last week, I had the privilege of speaking on John O'Donohue, who has very much been a companion for me the last couple years on my current journey of studying the art of spiritual direction. And I eagerly volunteered, asked for this Sunday, this contemplative Sunday, to follow last Sunday so that we could, maybe selfishly, but so that we could spend a little bit more time with John and some of his words. And so today we're just going to look at one poem of his, and we're just going to take some time, I don't know, whatever language works for you, lingering in it, resting in it, curiously exploring the words, but we're just going to slow down and see if anything resonates with us. So we'll start by getting still, and if you've been around when I do these things, I like to start with a chant. So we're going to start with the "Be Still and Know That I'm God" chant. And from there, we'll spend a little time in quiet, and we'll move into, good morning, we'll move into the poem. We're going to take it really slow, and then just so you guys know and you're aware, you don't need to take pictures or notes or anything, I've got copies of the poem for you when we leave today. That'll be out at the, I almost said visitor center, but the place where we talk and hang out. Connect Encounter, thanks. Visitor center. We're a lot bigger than you guys knew. So, you know, I've never really asked this, but just really quick before we get started, I know that contemplation and silence and mindfulness, meditation, any of those things might be foreign. You might have noticed some resistance. And so just for the sake of it right now, really quick, does anybody have any questions about mindfulness or just slowing down and being quiet? Any of that? Yeah. Yeah. Go for it, Larry. Do you not have a question? Oh, okay. Morning, Dan.
Mm-hmm. What can you recommend to help someone that does resist?
Yeah. So I imagine there's someone else in here right now. It's like, thank you for asking that, Larry, because it's all of us. Our brains are designed to constantly think and forecast and remember. And so this is where the idea of following the breath. Good morning. This is that idea of following the breath, and we put our attention on the breath. And I don't know about you, but maybe you've experienced life and you feel like you can do more things, like multiple things at once. But neuroscience actually suggests the brain can only really focus on one thing at a time. And so when we notice that our mind is going to thoughts, which is normal, we can just notice it and place our attention back on our breath. And the goal is to try to do that non-judgmentally, like not beating yourself up, like, see, I can't do this, or man, I suck at being quiet. It's just, you notice it, it's just like working out, so I hear. but you just place your, you notice like, oh, I'm thinking again. So not getting stuck in the narrative, not getting stuck in the details, it's just when you notice, oh, I'm thinking. Okay, come back to the breath. And usually right, this area right here for people, because you can really feel the felt sensation of the breath, that cold air. You just place your attention there a couple times, and you might be able to do it for two breaths, Larry, and then your mind goes there again. And that's where just compassionately towards yourself is, okay, come back. Come back to the breath. In centering prayer, the idea is to pick like a holy word that when you notice your mind has raced off, you just present this word again and come back to the breath. And the idea there that is that silence is condoning the presence of God. It's accepting the presence of God in that silence. And so that word is like an offering to come back. Sometimes the breath isn't enough. Sometimes you need like a word. But your mind will wander. Your mind will wander. Your mind will wander every few breaths. If you can get through a minute without that, wow. But it's a practice. It's a practice. And if there's sounds outside, there's sounds outside. If your stomach growls, cool. Like just is you're just present with what is. Thanks for asking, Larry. One more quick one, yeah. For mindfulness,
yeah.
It does come from what I understand as well, that Thich Nhat Hanh does use, there's a translation from a Buddhist word that means, yeah, and there's something about, if I understand correctly, and please, if anybody knows better, chime in, but I think a better translation for the word there from, that came mindfulness is remembering, and that's the term that he uses a lot, is like remembering like the present moment, remembering that this is your home. That you can come back here and just be in the present moment with what is. Yeah, thank you for asking that. Good morning, Sway. So with that in mind, as we try to quiet and be still, be gentle with yourself. Have compassion on yourself. If your mind goes, you're not broken. You're not doing it wrong. You're just human. If you've grown up in this faith tradition, you've no doubt heard stories about Jesus going off and being alone and being quiet. And there's stuff that needs to get done. And there's even some stories about the disciples like having to go and find him because there's work to be done, right? There's always tasks. And he's recognizing, just like our phones, just like our devices that need to get plugged in, that need energy before they can go and do their job, that he needed to get still and he needed to get filled up before he could pour out again, just to continue that process. So I would encourage you more than just maybe once a month if this is it for you, which is awesome, but I would encourage you maybe on the daily, maybe once a week, trying to just set aside some quiet time. I would stake the claim that prayer is more about silence than it is about speaking at God. So on that note, Creator God, our intention is to meet with you in stillness. In silence, here in this present moment. So open us up. Make us receptive to your love, to your grace, to your forgiveness, to your mercy. May we be conduits so that those attributes would flow through us to others who desperately need it. So we're going to chant the Be Still and Know That I'm God. Feel free to join along. Just sit and rest in these beautiful words. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be And even now, if your mind's wandered, it's okay. Just come back to your breath. Come back to the present moment. Just take a mental note . How do you feel? Do you notice that you're held by the chair, your feet on the ground? You're safe here. Go through a poem by John O'Donohue. titled, For One Who Is Exhausted, a Blessing. Ideally, we would stay in this posture of presence, of being grounded, of being here. We can just linger with these words for a little while. And so maybe you need to hear this. You have permission to turn off your academic brain or your analytical brain. We can do that with this poem another time. But just open up and see, maybe these words resonate with your current life experience. Maybe you're currently in it. I don't need a show of hands, but how many of us are currently feeling exhausted? I'm exhausted. I'm overwhelmed with what's going on in the world, in our country. I'm tired. And so selfishly, I need these words. I need to sit with these words and acknowledge what's going on. So we're going to go slow. We're going to linger. And the words will be up on the screen. When the rhythm of the heart becomes hectic, time takes on the strain until it breaks. Then all the unattended stress falls in on the mind like an endless, increasing weight. Unattended stress. I try to ignore it. I try to outrun it. How does that resonate with you? When the rhythm of the heart becomes hectic. Time takes on the strain until it breaks, and then all the unattended stress falls in on the mind like an increasing endless weight. Have you experienced that? Are you experiencing that? The light in the mind becomes dim. Things you could take in your stride before now become laborsome events of will. The light in the mind becomes dim. Things you could take in your stride before now become laborsome events of will. Sometimes even our normal routines, we don't even have the energy for them. Are you able to acknowledge that at all in your life, or that you've experienced that? And just an acknowledgement, not trying to figure out the why or whose fault it is or how to fix it. Can you just see that in your own life? He continues, weariness invades your spirit. Gravity begins falling inside you, dragging down every bone. Sounds like the condition of so many of the authors of laments in our faith tradition. As people have cried out to God, where are you? Weariness invades your spirit. Gravity begins falling inside you. Dragging down every bone. And the tide that you never valued has gone out. And you're marooned on unsure ground. And something within you is closed down. And you cannot push yourself back to life. Brothers and sisters are feeling marooned and on unsure ground. How many of us are crying out, enough, mercy? How long do we have to wait? This isn't about wallowing or it's about honoring our experience. Can we look at ourselves with compassion? Just acknowledging that we're tired. When we're tired, we have limits that make themselves known. The tide you never valued has gone out, and you are marooned on unsure ground. Something within you is closed down, and you cannot push yourself back to life. You have been forced to enter empty time. The desire that drove you has relinquished. There's nothing else to do now but rest and patiently learn to receive the self that you have forsaken in the race of days. You've been forced to enter empty time. The desire that drove you has relinquished. There is nothing else to do now but rest and patiently learn to receive the self you have forgotten in the race of days. The unattended stress, the parts of self maybe we ignored in the chaos and the pain. What's that opening line of the stanza do for you? That you've been forced to enter empty time. Maybe in empty time there's nothing to do but just be patient and wait. I confess I'm not good at that. I'm not good at waiting. First, your thinking will darken and sadness take over like listless weather. And the flow of unwept tears will frighten you. Experience those moments of unwept tears. Denise and I, sometimes we call them dusty tears, or tears that have cobwebs, and they're old, and they've been there for a long time. Scenarios and situations that have gone unchecked. Something about stillness that allows the rest of our life experience to catch up. It seems like in those moments, sometimes the tears just start coming out. So when this exhaustion comes over us, disorients. Again, John says, at first your thinking will darken and sadness take over like listless weather, and the flow of unwept tears will frighten you. You've traveled too fast over false ground. Now your soul has come to take you back. Some of you have beautifully creative, imaginative minds in here. Can you see that scene in your mind? You've traveled too fast over false ground, and now your soul has come to take you back. That speaks of intimacy to me. To me, that's an invitation back to wholeness and to a unitive perspective with Christ and with all of you. Now your soul has come to take you back. So take refuge in your senses. Open up to all the small miracles you rushed through. What did I miss in my stress? What did I miss when I had all that rage and anger inside of me and a focal point? Where have I ignored my senses along the way? take refuge in your senses. Open up. Open up to all the small miracles you rushed through. Become inclined to watch the way of rain when it falls slow and free. And what can it teach us? For some of us, this may sound a little hippie or something, but I just remind you that when Jesus was walking the earth, when asked a big question like, why should I love my enemy? He responds with an answer that is informed by watching the rain. He says that your Father in heaven allows the rain to fall on the good and the bad, and the sun to rise on the good and the bad. So emulate them with your love. What can we learn by slowing down, engaging our senses, and watch the rain when it falls slow and free? What's being revealed about Creator, about creation, about the way things work? The rain and sun do their job independently of our issues, what we believe, who we hate, who we voted for, who we align with. Become inclined to watch the way of rain when it falls slow and free. Imitate the habit of twilight, taking time to open the well of color that fostered the brightness of day. It's the last time you watched the sun come up over the horizon or duck down behind the islands. What does it mean to imitate the habit of twilight? It seems like a slow process. Taking time to open the well of color that fostered the brightness of day. Entering into this quiet time seems like it allows us and invites us into a different rhythm, into a posture of openness, receptive to spirit and to each other, as opposed to closed off. My will, my to-do list, my party, my group, my people. Imitate the habit of twilight, taking time to open the well of color that fostered the brightness of day that all of us get to enjoy. Draw alongside the silence of stone until its calmness can claim you. Be excessively gentle with yourself. when John O'Donohue writes these words, I can go back to some of the images of last week and the area he grew up in, Ireland, and those stone cliffs and the rigid terrain of all the rocks. And it's there that he notices the silence. Until its calmness can claim you. Until you accept the invitation to slow down. Maybe in that calmness you can be excessively gentle with yourself. Scenarios in your life right now, do you need calmness? What does it mean to you to be excessively gentle with yourself? For those of us with loud inner critics, constantly berating us and telling us that we're no good, that we could do better, it may seem foreign to be excessively gentle with yourself. So I'd invite you to consider a moment when you've been excessively gentle with someone else. Aging parent, a child, a friend. Maybe you've been on the receiving end and somebody has been excessively gentle with you. Lean on those examples. What it means to be gentle with self. Pretty sure the Spirit of God is gentle with you. Not constantly berating or critiquing you, but inviting you into stillness and freedom. Draw along the silence of stone, alongside the silence of stone, until its calmness can claim you. Be excessively gentle with yourself. Stay clear of those vexed in spirit. Learn to linger around someone of ease who feels they have all the time in the world. Let's just sit with that for a second. Are there scenarios where you have control and you can choose to stay clear of people vexed in spirit? Sometimes we work alongside people like that and we don't really have the choice. Can you identify those peoples or scenarios that for right now, if you are experiencing less energy than normal, can you identify those people or scenarios where it's just best that you avoid for now? Where not staying clear creates more stress for you, more anxiety. Increased animosity. isn't something to feel guilty about either. This is just objectively acknowledging. Acknowledging those people and places that are draining our life as opposed to giving it. Can you identify somebody in your life who has learned, you can learn to linger around? Somebody who feels that they have all the time in the world, somebody who seems to exist in a way that is life-giving to you. That to be in their presence is like a breath of fresh air. You both walk away content and filled. I pray that you have someone like that in your life. For those of you that have more energy, who feel like you are dialed in, tapped into source, where can you be that person for someone else? Where can you bring ruach, spirit, this fresh breath, into scenarios and into relationships? Stay clear of those vexed in spirit. Learn to linger around someone of ease who feels they have all the time in the world. Gradually, you will return to yourself, having learned a new respect for your heart and the joy that dwells far within slow time. Gradually, you will return to yourself. What you're experiencing is not permanent. And having learned a new respect for your heart and the joy that dwells far within slow time, this is for sure my commentary. But it seems like John O'Donohue is acknowledging a pattern or a rhythm that, at least anecdotally, I can say I've experienced, and I know some of you have as well. There's these times where it gets so fast, and we're just going through the motions, and something comes along and disturbs that, and it shakes us to our core. And it causes us to ask deeper questions. And some of those deeper questions get deeper answers. And those deeper insights reveal deeper wisdom. And I hear him acknowledging that here. Gradually, you will return to yourself, having learned a new respect for your heart and the joy that dwells far within slow time. There are joys that I have experienced that took a crap ton of pain to find, and a lot of old tears, and the shakes that come with it, and the uncertainty. And it's in that process that this deeper joy is revealed, it seems like. Can you honor that process? If you've gone through it or you're in it? Because I know when it first takes its toll on us, it's the last thing we want to do or experience or go through. We just want it back. Our innocence, our ignorance. But but there's a deep joy waiting for us. I'm going to read the poem one more time in its entirety. Just sit and let it speak to you. No commentary from Wayne, just the words of John O'Donohue. And then we'll transition into the table. When the rhythm of the heart becomes hectic, time takes on the strain until it breaks. Then all the unattended stress falls in on the mind like an endless, increasing weight. The light in the mind becomes dim. Things you could take in your stride before now become laborsome events of will. Weariness invades your spirit. Gravity begins falling inside you, dragging down every bone. The tide you never valued has gone out, and you are marooned on unsure ground. Something within you is closed down, and you cannot push yourself back to life. You've been forced to enter empty time. The desire that drove you has relinquished. There's nothing else to do now but rest and patiently learn to receive the self you have forgotten in the race of days. At first, your thinking will darken and sadness take over like listless weather. And the flow of unwept tears will frighten you. You have traveled too fast over false ground. Now your soul has come to take you back. Take refuge in your senses. Open up to all the small miracles you rush through. Become inclined to watch the way of rain when it falls slow and free. Imitate the habit of twilight, taking time to open the well of color that foster the brightness of day. Draw alongside the silence of stone until its calmness can claim you. Be excessively gentle with yourself. Stay clear of those vexed in spirit. Learn to linger around someone of ease who feels they have all the time in the world. Gradually, you will return to yourself, having learned a new respect for your heart and the joy that dwells far within slow time. We can just sit a few more minutes in quiet before communion. Maybe there was a word or a phrase in the poem, an image or a thought that came up for you. Maybe you can just hold that curiously in your mind. Not rushing to make sense or apply it. Just curiously engage it. God, author of love, of life, maker of the sun, moon, and stars, stones, forests. It seems that all around us is a different rhythm that creation is participating in. It seems like it's going simultaneously, like while we create our hectic, chaotic world. And we invite that slower rhythm into our existence. Open us up, God. Remind us to use our senses, to smell the flowers, to notice beauty. There's also those other parts of ourself that we don't notice, that we rush by. And so help us, remind us to pause. Remind us to take an honest look if we're going too fast and we need to take a break so our soul can catch up. God, we acknowledge that there are so many people right now that are suffering, that are crying out mercy, who are being affected by abuses of power. And so we pray that all living beings would have peace, that all living creatures would experience safety and health and love. Justice and restoration and forgiveness. May we not withhold our love, our patience, our forgiveness, but may it flow freely through us in the same way you send the sun and the rain, indiscriminate. The table of bread and wine is now to be made ready. It is the table of company with Jesus and with all those who love him. It is the table of sharing with the poor of the world, with whom Jesus identified himself. It is the table of communion with the earth, in which Christ became incarnate. So come to this table, you who have much faith, and you who would like to have more. You who have been to this sacrament often, and you who have not been in a long time. Those of you who have tried to follow Jesus, and those of you who have failed. Come. It is Christ himself who invites us to meet him here now. Blessed are you, O God, for you have brought forth bread from the earth. Blessed are you, O God, for you have created the fruit of the vine. So today we're just going to have the one table. I've got a little bit more to read, and we'll just stay, hopefully, in a little bit of a contemplative space. Logistically, if you would just come down this way and grab the elements and then exit that way. I'm going to read this now to you. As I'm reading, feel free to come up and grab it. You can partake of the bread and the grape juice anytime you feel led. And please know that we also have gluten-free options for some of you. So among friends gathered round a table, Jesus took bread. And after blessing, he broke the bread and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup of wine and gave thanks. He gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So now, following Jesus' example, we take this bread and this grape juice wine, the ordinary things of this world through which God will bless. And as Jesus offered thanks for the gifts of the earth, let us also celebrate God's goodness and his oneness. So as you feel so led, come on up. I know that for some, communion is a very personal thing. And that's beautiful. That's beautiful. But I'd also invite you to expand that understanding that it is communion, it is community. It's not just union with God, but it's with one another. One of the parts of scripture that comes into my mind most often, especially during communion, is this prayer of Jesus in the Gospel of John, when he prays, Father, may they be one, as I am in you and you are in me, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe you've sent me. And there's something about the unification of Christ and the unification of those that have accepted that. This ideal of sitting up here really is drawn to that. And so know that when you're participating even in communion today, and it is personal, but we have brothers and sisters all over the world today right now participating in the very same act. The very same table where every living human is invited and accepted. On that note, if you haven't, please partake. If you can take your cups to the outside when you exit, that'll pretty much conclude us for the day. You're more than welcome to linger and sit around. I will offer up one final prayer for us. So Creator God, we thank you for our time together. I thank you for John O'Donohue, for the ways that he was inspired creatively by you. And I'm thankful that he wrote it down. I thank you for the life and the teachings and the death and resurrection of Jesus. May we all be led by Spirit. May we all be open to your Spirit. And may we take that new breath, new gift of life from you. May we take it into our lives, into our homes, to our places of work, into our neighborhoods, our cities, our states, our country, our world that desperately needs you. Amen. Feel free to linger if you like, or you're more than welcome to exit. There's also a poem, thank you. That poem is printed out for you out at the front on a sheet if you want to take it with you. Thank you for the reminder.